As Christmas Day draws near, we often hear stories of generosity, kindness, and the spirit of giving. But perhaps no story has inspired these virtues more than the tale of St. Nicholas. Hi, I'm Rob West. Today we'll explore the story of a man whose life was a testament to selfless love and generosity, and whose actions echo the true meaning of Christmas. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Nicholas was born around 280 AD into a wealthy Christian family in Patara, Turkey, a busy trading hub on the Mediterranean coast. From an early age, he was taught to follow the teachings of Jesus, especially the call to care for the poor and downtrodden. His parents, devout believers, lived out these values daily, planting seeds in Nicholas' heart that would later bear incredible fruit. But tragedy struck when Nicholas was still a boy. An epidemic claimed the lives of his parents, leaving him orphaned, but with a considerable inheritance. In his grief, Nicholas found solace in his faith. Rather than clinging to his wealth, he saw it as a means to serve others, a tool to live out the gospel message of love and generosity. Nicholas began to use his wealth to quietly help those in desperate situations. His most famous act of generosity involves a poor man and his three daughters. In those days, a dowry, a financial gift, was required for a woman to marry. Without one, the daughters faced the grim prospect of being sold into slavery. The father, though heartbroken, could do nothing to change their fate. Moved by their plight, Nicholas decided to intervene. Under the cover of night, he secretly delivered a bag of gold to the family. When the father discovered the unexpected gift, his joy was overwhelming. The eldest daughter's future was secured, but Nicholas didn't stop there. On two more nights, he returned with gold for the other daughters, ensuring that each could marry and avoid the dangers of poverty. Though the father eventually discovered his benefactor's identity, Nicholas humbly urged him to give thanks to God alone. This act of secrecy reflects Jesus' teaching in Matthew 6, "When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." Nicholas didn't seek recognition. His only desire was to serve God and bring hope to others. Later in life, Nicholas became the Bishop of Myra, a role that allowed him to further his mission of compassion and justice. As a church leader, he was known for his deep love for his people, his unwavering commitment to the poor, and his courage in defending the innocent. He risked imprisonment during the persecution of Christians under Emperor Diocletian and later attended the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, standing firm for the truth of the gospel. But what set Nicholas apart was not just his position or influence, it was his Christ-like love. He lived out the gospel message in every breath, reminding people that true wealth is found in a personal relationship with God Himself. His acts of kindness pointed others to the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners and offer eternal life. After Nicholas's death on December 6th, 343 AD, stories of his generosity continue to spread throughout the centuries. In time, he became known as the protector of children, the patron of sailors, and a symbol of selfless giving. His life inspired the figure of Santa Claus, but behind the red suit and cheerful laughter lies the legacy of a man who lived to glorify God. The story of St. Nicholas challenges us to reflect on the true meaning of Christmas. His life wasn't about giving extravagant gifts or earning recognition. It was about embodying the love of Christ, a love that is sacrificial, humble, and freely given. This Christmas, as we exchange presents and celebrate with loved ones, let's remember that the greatest gift has already been given. Like St. Nicholas, we're called to share that gift with others. Whether through acts of generosity and service or kind words of encouragement, we can reflect the light of Christ in a world that desperately needs hope. After all, as Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. May the story of St. Nicholas inspire us to give generously, love deeply, and celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. After all, it's not the gifts we receive, but the love that we share that makes this season truly special. On behalf of our entire team here at FaithFi, Merry Christmas. All right, your calls are next. That number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. We'll be right back.
Let's think about what God has done. I would wager that his top news story is still that the free salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is available to all. I wager that will be the top news story until that salvation is no longer available. You will have made your decision for eternity. He doesn't ask us to do anything he won't, and then he does above what we can possibly do.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View, weekdays 12 p.m. Central on AFR.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at afr.net.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. In just a moment, we'll begin taking your calls and questions today. So if you have a financial question here in the middle of December as we round out the year, we'd love to know what that question is and tackle it with you. Our goal to help you, to come alongside you in your journey to be a wise and faithful steward. You see, after we surrender our lives to Jesus as Lord and Savior, it's about stewardship. How do we manage what we've been given? What have you done with what you've been given? I believe is really the key question. And we know that the goal is faithfulness, long obedience in the same direction. And that includes every domain of our lives, including the area of money management. Well, that's what we dedicate this program to here on AFR, to help you navigate your financial life through the lens of God's Word. And so whatever is on your mind today in your financial life, feel free to call right now. We've got lines open, and we're taking your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll jump into those calls here in just a moment. But first, in the news today, financial experts say that if you're eager to save more for retirement, it's not too early to boost 401k plan contributions for 2025. Excuse me. For 2025, you can defer up to $23,500 into 401k plans. That's up from $23,000 this year, 2024. For workers 50 and older, the 401k catch-up provision remains at $7,500. So that's additional money that you can put in if you're 50 or older. Now, enacted in as a part of Secure Act 2.0, the 2025 catch-up contribution limit will increase to $11,250 between for employees ages 60 to 63. So that's an added benefit for those beyond 50 in that range of 60 to 63, where you're not limited to $7,500 to catch up. You can do $11,250. That brings the total 401k deferral up to $34,750 for these investors. So a good bit of money that you can put aside. Roughly 14% of employees maxed out 401k plans in 2023, according to Vanguard's 2024 How America Saves report. That's based on data from 1,500 qualified plans and nearly 5 million participants. Diligently planning for retirement honors the Lord by preparing for that future that allows you to remain generous in the present and have resources to cover your needs, whether or not God redirects you away from paid work. So whether maximizing contributions or giving what you can afford, every step toward financial stewardship, I believe, reflects faithfulness. And that, excuse me, I'm all choked up this morning. That includes our savings. Now, keep in mind, I believe as Christ followers, we need to run everything, not only through the lens of Scripture, but invite God into our financial lives through prayer. And I think a part of that includes asking how much is enough. Because when it comes to long-term savings, it's not just about the mindless accumulation of wealth. It really is about understanding what are we saving for and how much do we need? And there's not a right or wrong answer to that. You know, you won't find your ultimate savings goal in God's word where you could just say, okay, this is the number and I'm going to go after it. You need to really think about that with prayerful consideration to say, first of all, what lifestyle has God called me to? And then secondly, beyond that, what does it look like for me to save toward that end? And how much is enough, both in spending right now as well as saving for the future? And I think once we establish that financial finish line, and perhaps you establish your first financial finish line, knowing that it will change over time, well, at that point, you have a target and you know, okay, if I'm on track, perhaps this is an opportunity for me to increase my giving. Now, the Lord may redirect you along the way, and that's fine, but I think starting that conversation with the Lord to say, how much is enough? How much should I be spending today? How much should I ultimately be trying to save in the future? That is really key. All right, let's start taking your phone calls. We've got lines open, 800-525-7000. We're going to begin in Oklahoma today. Paula, go right ahead.
Hey there. I have a Roth of about $35,000, and I can't contribute to it anymore. And then I have just a regular IRA that I do contribute to.
All right.
And I'm not needing the money. I get regular income. And I was just wondering, and I'm not one to, you know, I don't want to be rich or anything. So, but I just was wanting to put away a little bit. I have some CDs of about $80,000 in different CDs and a high yield savings. So I was just wondering maybe what to put in and do. I'm 61, no debt, just live with my mom and take care of her.
Okay. Yeah, very good. So where is that $35,000 positioned today? Is it in like
that's
a money market
in
or is it, oh yeah, it's in the Roth, but do you have, what investments have you selected inside the Roth?
Okay. It is a Timothy plan high.
Okay.
It's like a large cap.
Yeah. Okay. And have you found that to be just given your stage of life? Are you trying to get more conservative or you've been happy with how that's done?
Maybe more conservative because I've lost about $1,000 on it so far. I mean, that's not bad, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then I have an industrial holding and then some in energy.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Well, you know, I think the starting point is to say, okay, what is the right mix of investments for me? And, you know, it's roughly 60 years old. You know, you might want to think about a 50-50 mix between stocks and bonds, at least as a starting point. And then you could dial it up from there to get more aggressive. You could dial it back to get more conservative. But that would be a good, you know, typical mix, just given that people are living longer these days. If Lord tarries and you're in good health, you know, you need this money to last 30 to 40 years more. And so what does it look like to keep a portion of it growing for the future and yet have a portion that is more stable? Now, the last 3 years, bonds have been out of favor. We expect they will do better over the next 3 years just because the general direction on interest rates is down. As the interest rates fall, the prices of the bonds will increase, and that's on top of a pretty healthy yield right now. Now, we know that just based on this week's Fed meeting, and that's what moved the markets down this week, it will probably be a slower reduction in the interest rates, maybe even only a couple of cuts in 2025 versus what we were expecting. But bonds should still do well. But I like the fact that you would have stocks in there also, and I think it's great that you're with a fund family that's screening for your investments. What you may want to do is, if you're managing all this yourself, is just reach out to Timothy Plan and look at how you might reposition these assets to get a little bit more conservative. You know, they have not only the stock funds, like perhaps the ones that you're in that, you know, cover large and mid-cap value and growth and income, but they do have a fixed income fund. They have a high-yield bond fund. So, and they even have some defensive strategies and even a conservative growth. So I think based on, you know, what you're looking to try to do, targeting that roughly 50-50 mix between stocks and bonds, but staying with a faith-based fund family like Timothy, I think makes a lot of sense. And you can probably accomplish everything you're looking to do right there. Does that make sense, though?
Yeah. Can I, it's in Fidelity. Can I, like, just the Roth and everything, can I transfer it all to Timothy and let them deal with it?
You know, they don't have advisors, but let's do this. That's a great question. I want to give you a full answer on it. I've got to take a break. So do this. Stay right there, Paula. We'll pick it up on the other side. Katie and Johnny coming your way as well. We'll be right back.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Do you want to prepare for God's calling on your life to ministry? Many people have a sense that God is calling them to ministry, but they don't know the next step to take. Here's a step that may be for you. Wesley Biblical Seminary offers a new Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry that's entirely online, and it will prepare you for whatever ministry God calls you to next. We want to equip you with knowledge and tools you need to confidently fulfill the calling that God has put on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
A few of the benefits of a charitable gift annuity are: a fixed percentage for the rest of your life paid to you, a partial tax deduction, as well as partial tax-free income. And then upon your passing, any remaining funds are then gifted to the American Family Association. So give us a call today at 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. We look forward to speaking with you soon.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Helping you see God as your ultimate treasure, this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, applying biblical wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. A few lines open, room for your questions today, 800-525-7000. In just a moment, we'll head to Alabama and also Louisiana. But first, we're talking to Paula in Oklahoma. She's 61 years old, no debt. She's got some money in a Roth IRA, in some energy investments. She's also got a portion in the Timothy Plan, faith-based investing mutual funds. And just wondering, how's the best way to position that moving forward? She takes care of her mom. They live together. And Paula, I was saying that, you know, I think a general allocation, at least as a starting point for you at age 60, would probably be to think about 50-50 in terms of bonds and stocks. And you can solve for all of that inside the Timothy Plan funds. Now, you could stay right at Fidelity and buy those Timothy Plan funds. And so you would just go to timothyplan.com, click on Our Funds, find the ones that you want to move to and the right mix that gives you the proper, you know, stock bond allocation. And then you could just, you know, go online or call Fidelity and have them place those trades for you. If you had questions, you could also reach out to the Timothy Plan. Their toll-free numbers at the top of the page, and they could probably answer any questions you have. But you can do everything at Fidelity without transferring it over. Even though you can own the funds directly with an account at Timothy, it wouldn't necessarily be, you know, needed in your case because all of those funds are accessible through the Fidelity platform.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. And what do they mean by load fees? Like, I did look at the Timothy Plan high yield bonds, and it's a $100,000 minimum and then $2,500 minimum if you pick the A shares and $100,000 if you pick the I shares. And so I just didn't really understand that. So I guess I could call Timothy and they'll tell me.
They could, yeah, walk you through that. Yeah, you're going to want to pick the class of investments that fits for you. You're going to be probably looking for the one without any load and the lowest minimum investment. Some of those are institutional class shares, you know, which is not what you want because they're going to have a higher minimum. You're going to be wanted, you know, looking for one of the more retail class share options, and they could walk you through which one that is and what the expenses would be.
Okay. And I do want to donate when I get off, as she said, call back. And can I donate with my credit card? Do y'all take, you know, donations by credit card?
We sure do. Would you rather do it over the phone, or are you comfortable on the internet?
Oh, yeah, I can do it over the phone.
Okay. Well, yeah, so what I was going to say is if you are comfortable on the internet, that's the easiest way to donate by credit card. And by the way, thank you for that, because that gift will be doubled coming into FaithFi here. You would just go to faithfi.com/give.
Okay.
That's faithfi.com/give. And then right there at the top of the page, you'll see where you can make a year-end contribution.
Okay, I'll do it online then. Perfect.
Excellent.
Thank you. You've been so kind this whole, I call in and you just give me such great advice. I really, really appreciate it. And may God bless you. And y'all have a Merry Christmas. I know you're a veteran and I thank you so much for your service as well. Thank you.
Well, Paula, God bless you. Thank you for being on the program, for your kind remarks today. Lord bless you as well. Let's go to Louisiana. Hi, Johnny. How can I help?
Hey, how's it going, Rob?
Doing great.
I have a question. I have some stock money that I've been saving up for a while. I was really just planning on using it as part of my retirement, but I lost income a couple of years ago and gotten a little financial bind, so I had to max out a credit card, and so now they're it got sent to collections, and so but they're offering me, the collection company is offering me to pay it off at a lower amount if I pay a lump sum. I'm not sure if they're willing to do monthly payments, but I know they sent me a letter saying if I pay a lump sum, they would take maybe only like 75% or 80% of the total amount. Yeah. And so I was wondering, would it be a good idea to pull money out of that stock to pay up to get that credit card debt out of the way? Or is it better just to try to work out a monthly payment plan and just leave my money in my stock where it's been growing pretty good since I bought it?
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, you certainly could. And I like the idea that they're willing to, you know, give you a lower payoff. They may end up sending you a 1099 for the difference between what you owe and what they would settle for, which would make that taxable. My preference, though, would be you leave the stocks right where they are. You said they've been doing well. And let's see if we can get this into a credit counseling program. What we would hope is that it hasn't been purchased by the collection agency. They're just acting on behalf of the original creditor, and you could still work with the original creditor. Because if that's the case, through credit counseling, they would call what's called re-age the account. So essentially, the account would be brought current, and then you would slide into a debt management program, which leaves the debt right where it is. The account is either closed or at least suspended, but the interest rate is dropped. And that way you could get back current, but with a lower interest rate, which means a lot more of your monthly payment is now going to principal reduction, and you don't have to pull the money out of the stocks. So I would probably start with that approach just to see if our friends at Christian Credit Counselors could work with the original creditor and get that re-aged and slide you into that program. And the way you would do that is go to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. And then if that just isn't going to work out and you end up needing to pay the lump sum, you know, that way at that point you could look at what assets you have available and then potentially pulling from the stock portfolio. Does that make sense though?
Yeah, definitely. So I think I tried to call the original creditor one day to work with them. It has been, but it's been like over a year since I made a payment. And so I think the last time I tried to call him, she said it was just showing the account was closed.
Yeah.
And that I needed to refer to the creditor or the whoever. So I'm not sure if that means they officially bought it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that may be the case. Now, there still may be an option with regard to, you know, sliding it into debt management. So it'd be worth you reaching out to Christian Credit Counselors just to get their advice before you make that final decision.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So that on the web, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Let's let them take a look at it and then see where we go from here.
Thanks so much for your help. Merry Christmas.
All right. Merry Christmas to you, Johnny. Thanks for your call today. Katie in Alabama, we're coming your way after the break. Folks, we've got lines open. We're ready for you. We'd love to tackle your financial questions this morning. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, helping you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
I'm talking about Donald Trump, the human being. I'm talking about how a person that's 78 years old, he was giving speeches up until...
3 in 1 day.
I'd like to write a book on how he does it.
What's his regimen?
How many Big Macs you should have?
What if Big Macs and no exercise are actually the things that make you stronger?
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. You've got questions, call right now, 800-525-7000. We'd love to chat with you. Katie's been waiting patiently in Alabama. Katie, go ahead.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
So I am on a limited budget. I'm paying for school. My husband has to help cover, well, he has to cover more of the bills than I do. My job, I have no problem giving gifts at work. We're asked to, you know, give gifts like for Boss Day. We gave $10 each from everybody to give to our boss for a thank you, and I was fine with that. We did a meal for Thanksgiving and made something, and but then somebody lost a loved one, and we contributed and bought them a gift, and then Christmas came up, and then things have just been adding up to where I don't have the money to give out these gifts. And the Christian part of me is like, well, this is a donation, you know, like I kind of think of it as a donation or a contribution, but I really don't have the means to do this. And we just had Dirty Santa and those sort of things. And I've probably spent over $200 in the last month just with little gifts at work. Yeah. So my question is, how do I tell my coworkers? Cause it's not my boss asking for the money or the gifts. It's my coworkers that are like, hey, you know, can you send me $10 to pay for this? Can you send me $10 to pay for that? So how do I, is it wrong of me or not Christian of me to not want to give? Should I have a different mindset, or should I tell my coworkers that I don't have the budget for this right now? Like it's gone too far.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I totally hear you, Katie. And no, there's nothing that would just based on your, you know, being a Christ follower and wanting to live out, you know, God's word as a steward. I totally get it. You're on a limited income. You're trying to budget and be responsible with what you have. And, you know, you just only have so much for kind of these extra things. Now, should we be generous people as God's people? Yeah, absolutely. But we also need to have a plan, and you only have so much to work with and limited resources. And so you are the steward of that, and you need to, you and your husband, work that out prayerfully before the Lord. But that doesn't mean you should be expected to support every little thing that comes up. And, you know, other people may have more discretionary income for a variety of reasons. So I think there's a couple of approaches you could take. I know you said your boss isn't the one that's kind of making all of this happen. And yet, I think if you had just kind of a side conversation with your boss in private, you know, perhaps it would go something like, listen, I love working here and I love my coworkers and I love, you know, that we're looking for ways to be generous and support people that have needs and we like to have fun, you know, here, and that's great. But I would just love to share with you just a little perspective on kind of what has happened in, let me just use the last couple of months as an example and just, you know, help you to see that this is has gotten beyond what I have the means to cover. And would you mind, in whatever way you think is appropriate, just kind of generally making it known, like, hey, guys, you know, I just want you to be aware that this is great that we're doing this stuff, but we can't let it get out of hand because, you know, some people just may not be able to participate as frequently as these things are coming up. And perhaps in a staff meeting or something like that, he could just, you know, kind of nonchalantly drop that in and maybe set the tone for this is a good thing, but within reason. And so I think that would be one approach without you having to go to each person and have that conversation. Now, if he was not comfortable with that or you would rather not go that approach, the other approach is to kind of approach each person once any one of these things come up. And if you can participate, great. But if you can't, just pull that person aside and say, hey, I really appreciate what you're doing here. I just want you to know I'm not going to jump in on this one. And I just am stretched a little thin and I don't have the ability to do that. And perhaps as you have a few of those conversations throughout the year, maybe that in and of itself will kind of dial this back because, you know, a better approach would be anytime one of these comes up and maybe your boss could set the tone for this, for them to make it really clear that this is optional, right? And hey, we want to put this out there to be able to bless this person or this cause or whatever it is, but we know not everybody, you know, can participate and everybody has lots of various, you know, priorities. And so if they put that kind of more optional participation on the table, it would make folks who are unable to jump in not feel like they have to do it. And that's really the place you want to be. Does that all make sense though?
That does. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Listen, I don't want you to feel guilty at all about this. You know, in different seasons of life, we have different levels of discretionary income. And so the fact that you can't participate at every turn when somebody kind of dreams up something that everybody needs to jump in on is not anything you need to feel bad about whatsoever. And so I think if you go into it with the right heart posture, you know, affirming first, and then just sharing your heart and just the reality of the situation, I suspect every person you talk to, you know, that will be met with great receptivity and hopefully lead to maybe a change because I suspect they just haven't thought about it in that way. And, you know, hearing your perspective will probably go a long way to helping others who are in the same position, Katie, that just, you know, aren't going to take the effort to say anything about it. They'll probably be glad you did. Hey, thanks for your call today. Lord bless you. Let's take a couple of emails. These come in every week, and we don't always get time to tackle them. So I want to do a few of them now before we head to our next break. And then in our final segment, we will be taking a few more of your phone calls. So if you have a financial question today, whether it's related to your lifestyle spending and staying on budget, maybe it's getting out of debt, maybe it's giving here at the end of the year, thinking about asset-based giving or just non-cash giving in general, any of those topics and more, we'd love to tackle your questions today. You can call right now. We have lines open, 800-525-7000. This question comes from Cindy. She writes, I have a friend who's married to an unbeliever and her spouse sees no value in money beyond spending it. Do you have any advice for how she can make a budget and share it with her spouse so that his eyes might be open to the importance of financial stewardship? And boy, this is a great question. You know, we come to the marriage relationship with different money backgrounds. Money was handled differently by our parents, usually, than our spouse. Keep in mind, your approach to money was largely formed based on research by the age of 9. And so how tightly you grip it, how loosely you hold it, whether, you know, generosity was modeled, whether a spending plan was modeled by your parents, all of these things shape how you handle money today. And so part of getting on the same page as a married couple to deal with things like the importance of having a spending plan comes down to understanding. I need to understand my spouse and what they bring to the table with regard to money management. They need to understand, my spouse needs to understand me. And that's a good beginning point. And then we build on that. And I think the big idea with regard to budgeting is not that we're trying to restrict anybody. It's not necessarily about, hey, we need to put a budget in place because you're overspending. I mean, that may be part of it, but the bigger why is the budget is the way we accomplish God's purposes. And we're never going to get to the destination we want to without a plan. So let's define our values and our priorities. Let's let those inform our goals. And then let's see the budget not as a restriction, but a way to accomplish God's purposes. Give that a shot. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7.05 p.m. Central, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Here at Faith and Finance, we want to help you see God as your ultimate treasure. We want to be that daily source of encouragement in your stewardship journey as a money manager of the King of Kings. That's a pretty high calling, and we want to help you get that right, to be faithful in your money management. But we can't do it without your financial support. That's right. Faith and Finance is a listener-supported ministry and not-for-profit organization. And so we're inviting you to support our work here at Year End as we head toward closing out our budget for the ministry year and solving for what is our listener support goal. We're about halfway toward that goal, still about $75,000 away. And so here in the last couple of weeks of the year, looking for some generous listeners and supporters to come alongside us at FaithFi with gifts of any amount, whether it's $50 or $100 or someone out there who could do a $1,000 or $5,000 gift. You put it all together, and that's how we fund this work so we can execute on the plans we have in 2025. And we have some incredible things planned. Our brand new quarterly publication called Faithful Steward launches in January. Our new study on the book of Ecclesiastes called Wisdom Over Wealth, our new version of the FaithFi app. It's going to be an incredible year as we equip God's people to see him as their ultimate treasure. But if you'd consider a gift right now, here's the great part. Every gift is doubled between now and the end of the year. We had a couple of generous donors that said, whatever you get in the last 2 months of the year, let us know what that number is on December 31st. We're going to match it and send the same amount to be able to double it. And so your gift is leveraged right now when you go to faithfi.com and click give. We still need a lot of you to get on board. And so if you'd head to faithfi.com, click give at the top of the page, you can see the tracker that tells you how we're doing between now and the end of the year, and you can give quickly and securely. And thanks in advance. All right, we're going to round out the broadcast today with your questions. We've got room for a few more. You can call right now, 800 525-7000. Back to Texas, Lisette. Thanks for calling. How can I help?
Yes, good morning, Mr. West. I have a debt of about $4,300, and I also owe about $4,000. And I was thinking if I should get a balance transfer and a new card or have a loan from our 401k.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a big fan of either of those, even though they're both options. So the nice part about the 401k loan is you're just paying that back with interest to yourself and no one else. However, I don't want that money to come out of there because I want it to stay in there so it can keep growing for you and for you to use, you know, down the road when you retire. And if we pull it out and use it to pay off debt, it's not in there and it's not growing. And secondly, if you were to separate from your employer, then it would become a taxable distribution at that point. So that's the first issue that would cause me not to have you take out a 401k loan. With regard to the balance transfer, it's kind of a quick fix. I mean, you know, is it effective to get that interest rate down to zero? It can be. The problem is it's kind of a trap where, you know, you get in this cycle of balance transfers, which keep in mind, every time you do one of those transfers, you typically have to pay a, you know, a 2 or 3% fee. So if you've got $4,000 in credit card debt, I mean, you could pay, you know, $120 right up front just for the privilege of transferring that balance. And then if you have to do that, you know, every year, that could add up. So what would I do instead? Well, you've probably, if you listen to the program, heard me talk about our friends at Christian Credit Counselors. If you have 4,000 or more, and that happens to be right where you're at, that's my preferred way to get out of debt because it's going to restart with your budget and make sure you can afford the payment and help you get that budget situated, which, by the way, is a better long-term fix for this because the you know, the opportunity for you to get out of debt and stay out of debt is going to hinge on your ability to live within your means moving forward. Now, it doesn't mean you won't have something that comes out of left field that you just don't have the savings for. That could happen. But if we can get you out of debt, get an emergency fund built up of 3 to 6 months expenses and have you living on a budget, the goal would be that you never go back into credit card debt again. And some of these quick fixes like the balance transfer or the 401k loan often fail to get you to change the behavior that ultimately led to the debt in the first place. Now, with debt management, what's going to happen is the credit card interest rate is going to be dropped and you would make one monthly payment through the credit counseling agency and they would pass it on to your creditor. And the combination of that level payment, an 80% reduction, or excuse me, the lower interest rate would allow you to pay it off 80% faster on average. So if I were you, what I would do is head to ChristianCreditCounselors.org and let them get you set up in that program.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. That's
all
what
right.
I thought, and I'm trying to do that quick.
Awesome. Thanks. Glad to hear it. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling today. May the Lord bless you. We appreciate you being on the program today. You know, so many people find themselves in this position. I mean, we are at record levels of credit card debt now in this nation, $1.3 trillion with a T owed. And so a lot of folks wondering, how in the world do I get out from under this? This is my preferred way, debt management, not debt consolidation with a new loan, certainly not debt settlement where you stop paying and try to negotiate it down. All right. Lines are open. I've got room for maybe one more. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Angela, go right ahead. How can I help?
Hi. I was wanting to ask, me and my husband have started making more money as a household, but we haven't financially advanced in our lives. Like, our savings haven't grown. We haven't made any steps towards, like, our goals or anything. And he is not a believer. And he does not believe in tithing. He thinks it's a big scam. He won't tithe out of his money at all. And I always tithe 10% and save 10%, and that's just how I am. And I come from, you know, faith-based with that. But he is just adamantly against it and doesn't believe in any of it. And I know how it's blessed I know how it's blessed us just as a family from tithing, and I know how it's blessed me specifically. But I don't know how to try and help him understand that it's not that it's not a scam, and that it is an opportunity for God to open more doors and bless us with more finances. But how would you suggest I broach that?
Yeah, I appreciate that question, Angela. This is actually a question that we tackle in the first edition of Faithful Steward coming out next month. And so I'm going to have my team get your information. I want to get you a copy of the new publication as soon as it's out. But let me tell you kind of how we approach this. You know, when a believer feels called to give to their church but faces opposition, it really does create a delicate situation when you have a non-Christian spouse, and it requires wisdom and grace. You know, Ephesians 5:21 encourages us as Christ followers to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so I think the principle here that's the key idea for this situation is that the marriage is more important than the money. It's essential, I think, to prioritize unity and harmony in your marriage over financial disagreements. Ron Blue, who's one of my mentors and the popular author of Master Your Money and other books, he will tell the story that when his wife, Judy, became a believer before he did, she didn't insist that they begin giving to the church. Instead, she just lived out 1 Peter 3:1-2, which talks about winning the other person over through your conduct rather than persuasion. And Ron will tell you that Judy just patiently lived out her faith, and that caused him to remain open to the gospel and ultimately surrender his life to Christ. And if she had pushed, he will tell you, it might have turned him away from both her and the faith. And so I think a few suggestions, and I'm not saying this is necessarily the way to go. You need to work this out before the Lord and with your spouse. But perhaps first, listen openly to your spouse's concerns. And it sounds like you know what it is. He said that he thinks it's a scam. But I think you being willing to listen fosters that healthy dialogue and shows that you care more about their perspective. Then I think you take the opportunity to explain why giving is meaningful to you. Share how generosity aligns with your faith and frame it as a personal conviction rather than an obligation. And I think this approach allows your spouse to see the giving as an expression of your values without feeling pressure. And then if disagreements persist, well, I think you explore creative compromises. For instance, you might budget individually for causes you each value. And this way you can give to your church and your spouse could give in a way that allows him to experience the joy of supporting something he cares about. But I think at the end of the day, Angela, remember, God owns everything. He doesn't need our money. He wants your heart. He wants unity in your marriage. And ultimately, he wants your husband to surrender his life to Jesus as Lord. And so I think at the end of the day, you just need to trust God's timing, in my perspective. And I think, you know, unity and generosity are biblical callings. But God's ultimate desire is for hearts to be transformed and surrendered to him. So I'd pray for your husband. I'm sure you do that regularly. I'd lean on God, and I'd trust that your faithfulness will speak volumes, and that will foster peace and unity in your marriage. And ultimately, let's pray that your husband surrenders his life to Christ. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. All right. Listen, I appreciate your call today. I'm going to pray for you before we go. Father, I just lift up Angela to you. Lord, just give her wisdom and grace and understanding. Be in every one of those conversations. Help she and her husband to come together in unity around managing your resources. And above all else, Lord, may his eyes be opened and his heart be softened. May he ultimately come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and surrender his life to you. We ask that you would go before us in every conversation they have, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Angela, God bless you. Thanks for calling today. Folks, that's going to do it for us. Big thanks to my team today, Sandy, Devin, Taylor, Jim. Couldn't do it without them. If you want to support our work here at Faith and Finance, every gift doubled right now, faithfi.com. Just click give. We can't do it without you. God bless you. See you tomorrow.